1 John chapter number 1. Y'all kind of looked around. Do we stand? Do we not? It's whatever. Nobody's going to pick on you for doing anything, right? 1 John chapter 1. For sake of time, and not to read all of the verses today that we read last week, let's read, if you would, verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your heart, all of your heart. You've proven that you loved us when you gave us your son. Help us to prove to you that we love you by giving you ourselves. Thank you for all who've assembled and all who are tuning in. Father, there could be somebody in the building that doesn't know Jesus. Might today be the day that one comes to a saving knowledge of the truth. Keep the devil from interfering and bless the service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Last week we spoke about the times that you and I have been facing the last several months. The myriad of difficulties that we've encountered unexpectedly and in an unprecedented manner. All of the things that we've had to face have caused us to think, to pause, to contemplate. For me, it's made me realize what really matters in life. You know, times like these help you to realize a whole lot of stuff that you cling to doesn't really matter. And some of the things that you don't value enough are the things that really do matter. One of the biggest difficulties the last several months is our inability to be together, to be around each other, to be able to do the things that we're used to doing. I don't know about you, some things are more fun when you get to do them with people that you love. I don't know about you, worshiping God is a fun thing, singing is a fun thing, going out to eat is a fun thing, but it just takes a different level when you get to do it with people that you love. The Bible calls this thing fellowship. Koinonia it is in the Greek. It is one person having joint participation in something both have in common. It is what you and I have so grown to be accustomed to over these years as Christians. We said last week that fellowship stems from relationship. It is yours and my relationship that we have with one another. It is our connection that causes us to have communion. We enjoy communion because of our connection. And when you're connected with someone, you enjoy communion with that person. You don't enjoy communion with people that you're not very well connected with. But I'll tell you something, there is no greater connection than what we have to Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The connection that we gained when we got saved, the connection that we inherited when we were washed in the blood like they sing about, the connection that John wrote about in his epistle, John wrote about in his gospel chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There are a lot of elite statuses and titles that you and I could share with other people that we would be proud of. But I don't know of anything I could tell somebody that I am that I could be more proud of than to tell that person that I am a child of God. Somebody say amen. I belong to Jesus. I've been birthed into his family. I've been adopted based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost lives inside of me. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. The Word of God is guiding me. In these times, more than ever, you and I must draw strength, and we must draw foundation, and we must draw courage and boldness and credibility and certainty to know that nothing can separate us from the love. I wish somebody would say amen today that you know that you know that you know that you say. And so, Fellowship is that much more precious because of relationship. John says our fellowship is with the Father. Truly, our joint participation in something we both have in common is with the Father. Please, please, now you ought to scratch your head over this, that you and God have something in common. That God and I have something in common. Listen, listen, it doesn't amaze me that I want to be in communion with God. What does amaze me is that God wants to be in communion with me. What is it about me that makes him want to be around me? What is it in me that makes him want to be near me? What is it special about me that makes God on a Sunday want to commune with us in the middle of a pandemic and when the world is facing utter chaos and when the devil knows that he has but a short time? What makes God want to be around me? I'll tell you, it's Jesus inside of me. It's the Holy Ghost living inside of me. That's why he wants to be around me. And oh God, help us to want to be around him. Truly our fellowship is with the Father. How's your fellowship been lately? I'm not asking you how's traffic been. I'm not asking you how's it been in the house. I'm not asking how's your mask wearing been. I'm not asking you how's it been not being able to go out to those restaurants. I'm not asking you how's it been being away from each other and we missed that. But I'm asking you how's your fellowship been with God? Because when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll not be able to cite these times as an excuse for not fellowshipping with God. We'll not be able to blame the government. We'll not be able to blame finances. We'll not be able to blame weather. We'll not be able to blame our physical ailments. Listen to me. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. I hear Paul chiming in Romans chapter 8. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that can't nobody do me like Jesus. Amen. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. Last week we looked at some real conclusions, recognized ones that John came to concerning Jesus, his absolute eternality. He's been from the beginning. That he and the others were actual eyewitnesses. Could I tell you that when John writes this epistle in 1 John, he's telling us Jesus is not a fairy tale. Jesus is not a Disney movie. Jesus is not a storybook. Jesus is the real thing. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say he's the real thing. I'm telling you, I'm glad he's the real thing. They used to have a commercial talking about Coke, nothing but the real thing. Listen to me. Coke don't have nothing on Christ. Amen. He is the real thing. In these last days, listen to me. We need some people that know better. We need some people that know him by experience. Listen to me. I've not just heard of Jesus. Somebody didn't just tell me about Jesus. I didn't just read about Jesus. Listen to me. I accepted him as my Savior. I know that he's real. John said, I'm an eyewitness. We had a heavenly sight of him, a holy sound from him, a heartfelt stroke from him. He touched us. We heard him. We saw him. He is the accurate expression of God, logos. He is the unit of speech by which we express ourselves. And God expresses himself in no clearer way than he does through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, mankind is looking for God. They're trying to find God in religion and in drugs and in fame and in fortune. And they always come up empty. Listen to me. There are people that have been religious for all their lives. They die and go to hell. They've looked for God. They've longed for God. And yet they lack God. I'll tell you why. You can't find God any other place better than you can in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh. The authentic exposure he was in the awesome enlightenment. He says he was manifest unto us. So clearly revealed, exposed and manifest unto us. Incarnation makes fellowship possible. Would you put that in your notes? Incarnation makes fellowship possible. What is incarnation? It literally in the Greek means robed in flesh. Could you say that with me? Robed in flesh. What do you mean the incarnation of Jesus? It's very important to understand that just because Jesus got a body in Matthew chapter 1, that was not where he started to exist. John, the same writer in John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Fast forward 13 verses, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You say, what is incarnation? It's a big word. It means God became man. Come on now. He left the portals of glory. And by the way, Philippians tells us he didn't have to. He was willing to. Nobody made him to. He submitted himself to the leadership of the Father. He was robed in flesh. And here's what John said. Because he came, now you and I have the possibility of fellowship because Jesus came to earth and made himself of less than the angels and took on human flesh, you and I have the possibility of fellowshipping with him. Please listen to me. Please. It is possible to walk with God. Wow. The awesome enlightenment. Could I give you one more thought? Maybe one. The real conclusions that John gave us. By the way, he says, before I even start talking, I want you to know these are conclusions. We've come to understand them and believe them. Listen, you'll never be a good Christian if you're still trying to figure out if Jesus is real. Somebody help me preach. I said, you ain't gonna never be a good Christian if you're still trying to figure out if Jesus is real. Hey, listen to me. You may stumble over your flesh and you may stumble over some difficulties and you may make mistakes that you regret and you may say oops too many times and wish you didn't say them so many times. But one thing you got to be sure. Listen to me. There's a lot. Listen, I turned the news on one day. I turned the news on a few hours later and what they said a few hours earlier done changed already. Listen to me. I don't know about you. I can't keep up with the changing. If you got a theory about something, Google it. You'll find somebody that will substantiate it. The problem is we don't know if that somebody is right, but I'm gonna tell you about somebody I know is right. His name is Jesus, and I know that he's real. I say that I know that he's real. I've seen him. I've heard him. I've handled him. I've read this Bible. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I remember mom and daddy talking about Jesus. I remember saints of God crying about Jesus. I remember reading about the heroes of the faith and how they experienced Jesus, but it took on a whole new meaning to me when I got to know him for myself. I'd just like to say I'm glad I know that he's real. And so the reasonable compulsion that John had, that which we have seen, declare we unto you. Delivered facts. What we got, we're giving. Huh? I tell you what's wrong with religion today. They are giving people something they didn't get from God. Aren't you glad that we don't have a job to come up with truth? Is anybody listening to me? Aren't you glad? Listen, the last thing we need in these last days are people inventing truth. Amen. Pilate asked a dumb question, didn't he? What is truth? He better be glad I wasn't Jesus. I would have said, you're looking at him, dummy. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. Hey, let me tell you something. He is truth. Listen to me. Truth is not the result of Jesus. Jesus is truth, and everything associated with him is truth. Aren't you glad? He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. That's what he's saying. John said, that which we have seen, declare we unto you. The delivered facts. We got it from him. We walked with him for 3.5 years. I'd have loved to have been in that group of 12. The delivered facts, the desired function. Look at verse number 3. That ye also may have fellowship with us. Whew. That ye also may have fellowship with us. Now, John said, truly, our fellowship is with the Father. You ain't going to have no better time with anybody than you will with God. But please listen to me. My good time with God and Jesus will make my time with you better. Come on. I need more than half of y'all. I know. You can't blame everything on the mask. I done heard you now. Listen to me. We will have a better time with each other when we have a better time with God. This is my... John said, I'm telling you why I'm telling you about Jesus. Because the more I tell you about Jesus, the better we're going to get along. Listen to me. It is the unity in Christ that provides our unity as Christians. Could you hear that? It is the unity in Christ that provides our unity as Christians, that ye may have fellowship with us. Listen to me, folks. We may not be able to assemble like we can and like we used to. There are some people in this church, it's not safe for them to be here. They're not comfortable being here. And one day we're all going to get back here together, but there is a fellowship and a unity and a commonality that you and I have in Jesus that cannot be produced. Listen to me, you know it's true. You get along better with Christians than you do your own blood relatives that aren't saved. And it's not because you're more related to Christians in blood, but you are more related to Christians in a different blood, the red, rich blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. And that's why you can get around people that have the same mama and daddy as you. And after 5 minutes go, I don't like you. I'm glad I don't have to be around you anymore. Girl, you related to me. Yeah, I'm related to you. Well, I'm glad I'm grown. I don't have to be around. That's how you get around some people you're related to. But when you get around people, listen to me. When you and somebody else agree on Jesus, it is nothing in the world that will make your time sweeter than the unity on the agreement in Jesus Christ. the delivered facts, the desired function, the discovered fullness. I feel like I hate saying I'm closing. It's so unlike my nature. That woman that just sang over there, she's tough. She don't play with me. She can use better. Discovered fullness. I want us to read with the mask on, verse number 4 together. Ready? Begin. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I wonder, when's the last time you ran into a Christian with full joy? You know, we fill up our gas tanks. God knows we fill up our plates. Amen. God knows if I hadn't gone through sickness, I'd have been, you know, telling what I'd look like when I came off of quarantine. I'd have looked like some of y'all. I mean, happy and glad to be here. I've had church members tell me, Pastor, I got to get out of this house. I got to do something. I got to work on something. I'm glad I don't want to go to the grocery store. I quit bringing food up in here. We fill up our plates, don't we? Come on. We're full of ourselves. We're full of ourselves. How happy were you when that stimulus hit your bank account? Amen. Something felt good. Something felt good. Deontay said, Dad, somebody mistakenly put some money in my account yesterday, and I don't know where it came from. I said, stimulus. Glory to God. Isn't it amazing? Fast we got it, it was already gone. Huh? Hey, let me tell you something. God will give you so much joy, you won't know what to do with it. That your joy may be full. I'm telling you, I'm trying to find somebody. I'm trying to find somebody that walks with God that's got full joy. Listen to me. You can't buy joy at Walmart. You can't find joy at Target. You can't get joy delivered the next day from Amazon Prime. They come to my house every day. You can't find joy on eBay. You can't get all the scientists that have the best degrees and the highest IQ in the world to find some sort of potion to whip up some joy. But I'll tell you, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You say amen and I heard them close. Listen, I'm telling you where joy comes from. Joy comes when you get up every day, even when the news is crazy, and when your friends are few, and when you can't go where you used to go, and your body feels funny, and your memory is a little fuzzy, and you don't know when this thing is going to be over, and you hope the vaccination is coming, and people acting crazy, and racial tensions on every hand, but you get up every day and you say, He meets me in the dew of the morning, and He finds me when nobody else does, and He's my own when nobody else is. I'm telling you, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't know what's going to happen this week, and I don't know what they're going to say on the next task force meeting. And I like to hear Dr. Fauci too. I don't know what he's going to talk about. I think he's a pretty nice man. I don't know what anybody else is going to say. You can have your opinions about who came up with it, what conspiracy is, or what you should do. I don't know. But one thing I do know, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. And he's done something in me that nobody else can. And he reached down into that hospital bed and healed my body and gave me another chance and kept me here on planet earth and let me stay with my family and keep pastoring this church, not just so I can make a name for myself or speak on a news station. I appreciate the opportunity to impact, but the greatest thing that I can do as a human being is get up every day and to say, I'll walk with him, I'll talk with him, I'll love on him like he loves on me. I may not be able to come over your house or invite you over my house, but God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's all, folks. But I want you to chew on it this week. And I trust that God will help you.